scripture reading schedule. You find it in the second reading. It takes us through the close of the book of Mark and into our readings through the Psalter. Chapters 12 and 13 of the book of Mark conclude the focus on our Lord's public teaching and move us towards the events leading to his passion. Mark 14 describes the anointing of Christ by the woman in Bethany. What Christ says is an anointing beforehand for his burial. Here we also have the plot by Judas to hand Christ over to the chief priests and scribes. Chapter is lengthy, continuing through the preparations for Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper. Here we have the prophecy of Peter's betrayal and the ordeal in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Judas follows through on that plot. Jesus is taken away to begin the unlawful examination and trial that would lead to the demands for his crucifixion. The chapter closes with Peter sinfully denying the Lord. Chapter 15 takes us through the examination by Pilate and the progression of suffering by our Lord unto his death on the cross and his burial. Chapter 16 concludes the book with the glorious resurrection of Christ. Certain of his appearances are recorded here, his great commission and his victorious ascension to the right hand of God. Now, our reading schedule turns then to our additional journey through the Psalter. And we have before us the first four Psalms in the scheduled reading. Most commentators suggest that Psalm 1 is a kind of introduction to the Psalter, describing the intended audience, those who would make use of the Psalter, in its broadest purposes. The Psalms are for those blessed by God, pursuing the Lord in his ways. These Psalms will bless the blessed people as they grow in grace, learning from the Lord's Torah, his teaching, and having that transform them unto abundance of the blessing in the blessed way. Not so the wicked. And their decline and demise is contrasted here with those who are blessed in the Lord's way of blessing. And Psalm 2 serves another kind of introductory purpose as it sets before us the primary focus of the Psalter. Psalm 1 giving us the use of the Psalter and those who will make use of it. And Psalm 2 setting forth the subject of the Psalter. Even God, the ruling and reigning King, who has set his Son on the throne over all with promises to bring all the nations under his dominion. We who rejoice at this prospect see Messiah displayed in all his divine glory here. Indeed, God is revealed in the Psalter and particularly in relation to the work of Jesus, great David's greater son. With that in mind, let's stand together and hear this wonderful psalm, Psalm 2. Psalm, Messiah ruling and reigning. This is God's very word, holy, infallible, and inerrant in all its parts. Let us hear with reverence and heed. Psalm 2 and verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, And I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O king. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated.